Yeah. He's on
turnaround. Hello and welcome to Springboard of Virtual University. My name is Albert Okran, welcoming you on behalf of Team Springboard. This is your most inspirational show and that place where the greatest minds in the world have been converging since 2008. We trust that you are ready, poised for action as we converge one more time for an all-important conversation. Springboard is brought to you by the Springboard Racial Foundation and proudly sponsored by MTN Pulse, the enterprise group UMB Bank, with media support from the multimedia group and the graphic business. So here we are in the fourth of our all-important series called the Dons Conclave. It's that place where the big minds running tertiary education have been converging since the beginning of the month. And it's simple. We're finding out from these vice chancellors two simple questions. What are the five lessons you've learned in your journey in leadership that you can share with our listeners and viewers? And even more importantly, what are your five prescriptions for world-class education right here in Ghana? My guest for today is running that beautiful university hidden in that beautiful city in the center, somewhere in the center of Ghana, Sunyani, that city that you love so much. He is the Vice Chancellor of the University of Energy and Natural Resources, and Professor Elvis Asaribediako is here with us on the Virtual University. Prof, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you, and congratulations on UNE at 10.
Thank you very much. Nice meeting you too. Right. And nice to be on the program too.
You're most welcome, sir. Let's start with the 10-year journey of your university. What was the original mandate of UNE? When we hear University of Energy and Natural Resources, our minds go to maybe forestry, maybe some particular industry. But give us an idea about the mandate or the breadth of UNE.
Right. Let me just start by saying that the University of Energy and Natural Resources was established in 2011 by Act of Parliament, Act 830, with a mandate to produce manpower needs for energy and natural resource sectors of the economy. So when it comes to energy and natural resources is broader. You know, you talk of forestry, agriculture, environment, mining, and all that. So, and energy, when it comes to energy, yes, we are number one in the country. So this is really the mandate for establishing University of Energy and Natural Resources in 2011. And I want to say that the university was commissioned November 17th, 2012, with two schools, School of Engineering and School of Natural Resources, with a total population of 154 students. And currently we have eight schools in addition to the School of Graduate Studies. And the student population currently stands out around 13,000.
Wow. It's that kind of number or statistic that gets me very worked up or excited. So the transition from 154 to 13,000 certainly must say something about what you are doing right at UNE. My last encounter with your students was very, very heartwarming. We happen to be the springboard for what we call our youth dialogues, where we bring policymakers to engage with students and leaders. And of all the universities that came for that program, I must say that your university in particular came with all your final year business students dressed very formally and looking very serious. And for that 5-hour program, they sat in, they wrote notes, they engaged very, very beautifully with the program that we brought. So I get the impression of some very serious work going on. But today, seriously, I want to break down your lessons that you've learned. And then the second part, we'll look at what you think we could do to enhance world-class education right here in Ghana. So let's start from your person and your lessons. Okay. What would be the first of your five lessons that you've learned, Professor Elvis Asaribediako?
I would say that the first of everything is a God factor.
Okay.
The humility factor. Every leader that is not humble. If you're not humble, then you are not a leader. You can be a good leader. If you are somebody that will want people to serve you. And so I'm using the word the God factor because if you read Mark chapter 10, verse 44-45, Christ said it. And the emphasis is that the Christ, Jesus Christ himself, that we, I'm a Christian, I'm speaking this way, that says he came to serve, but not to be saved. And I think that is very, very important here. And so if you don't have that service character, but you want to be saved, with, you know, then you can be a good leader. And if you want to succeed as a leader, it's also there. I mean, if you read, I think Luke chapter 14, verse 11 is talking about, he who want to be the greatest, you know, if you humble yourself, then God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, and then you'll be humbled. And so this is some of the guiding principle. But I must say that being humble here, most of the time, especially in Ghana, we misconstrue humility with timidity. And that is very important, Abbott, that we need to note. Humble here doesn't mean that when you're supposed to act, you shouldn't act. Jesus Christ, you know, when they turned the Father's house into market, what did he do? You know, he cracked the whip. And so he must be able to take decision at the right time. And so he had to be courageous. And that is most important. Every leader. So if you're humble, while you're supposed to act, you have to act. So humility is key. And for me, since my infancy, that has been mine. And so leadership by example, you have to dirty your hands with it.
Do you find yourself having to exhibit this trait in practical terms on a daily basis?
In practice, that is exactly what... Because it is part of...
Do you wash the feet of the registrar? Do you wash the feet?
You see, washing feet, what Christ did, as a man, you should wash the feet. But it means you are serving.
Right.
And for me, one of the things I need to do is having good relationship. And you serving, you leadership by example, you need to do it. The point is that, Abbott, in Africa context, if you really want to succeed as a leader, you need to move people along. How can you move people as a leader? You know, a leader is supposed to inspire. And it's one when you do it, you know, and with that humility, then you're able to move people along with you. And I think it's very, very important. And so you see, for me, both staff and student, you mentioned of our student, I don't think there's any institution here, any teaching institution in Ghana, that the management, especially the vice chancellor, is having good relationship with the student. No, we have very good relationship with our SLC, open door policy for them and all the staff. And we listen to them and involve everybody. You know, so I believe that is the only way, because if you don't do that, people will not move along with you.
Let's push on to your next point. You're talking about building consensus with 13,000 students and most likely quite a large faculty. That's a very Herculean task. But let's find out your second lesson on your journey.
Right. The second lesson is, it's number two, it's important. You see, when you assume office as a leader in any situation, first, you must understand your institution. And then, if you understand the institution, you've done the sort of analysis. And then you have to come out with your vision for the university. So you have a vision and then a set goals. And then you develop strategies in achieving these goals, will ultimately help you to achieve the vision for the university. And As a leader, it's very important to remain focused and stick to this vision. You know, we have a problem. I mean, I said, oh, you promised you didn't do it and all that. So you need to set goals that are achievable. And if you set up achievable goals, then it's very important that you stick to it. So remain in focus. Look, in Ghanaian environment especially, what happens is that there will be people who like to distract your attention. People who try to work against you, you know. But the point is that when you're focused and you want to achieve something, nothing can distract you. So setting goals, having vision, set goals, the finding strategies, and sticking to the goals. In other words, remain focused. It's very important. And that has helped me a lot.
You've mentioned the Ghanaian context and you've mentioned the potential to be distracted. Would it be your experience on your journey to becoming vice chancellor or in your practice as a vice chancellor that you find people sometimes try to distract you?
Oh, it's a common thing. Every leader, there's not a single leader that will say that I've not experienced that in Ghanaian context.
And why, see, why do you say, I refer to the word Ghanaian context? Yes, I would like clarity on that.
The point is, when you, it's not everybody that will like you as a leader. Don't forget that. As a vice chancellor, or when I was the dean, to all this through competition. When I was the dean, it was through election. You contested with some people. They had the supporters. As a vice chancellor, we contested. We're six that contested. They all had their supporters. And so even before you get there are some who say, no, you, this gentleman, I don't even support you. And therefore, what will happen? They know if you succeed. No, for instance, I have the age and the potential probably to rerun, you know, go for probably the second time. I'm not saying, I see the potential is there. And so why me think that if you don't find ways of sabotaging the person, you know, he will succeed. If he succeeds so much, it means that it will affect their chances of also taking over. And therefore, that is common that you help expect. But so the point is that if you're a leader, we don't focus so much on that. You rather have to pay attention to.
It must be difficult.
Yes, because, and the point is that at times you want to achieve it. You see, you are going somewhere here, and you realize along the line, if the point I'm going here, if going straight, there's an obstacle. If you have to go this way and get there, you have to go through that.
Let me ask you a question. So the typical competitor, if I use your illustration, the typical competitor who probably may have run with you for the position or has eyes on the position there, when you become due to recontest or for renomination, will typically be somebody quite senior. I mean, it won't be a junior. It will be quite senior in the setup. And the more senior the person is, or a person is, the more difficult it is to navigate around them or ignore them. How do you navigate what is potentially a minefield or a very difficult situation?
Thank you, Abbott. I remember when I was the dean of School of Agriculture and at the University of Cape Coast, and some of my lecturers talked to me, you know, you realize that, you know, it's not everybody that, you know, feel comfortable, somebody they thought now they're coming to rule, you know, over them and all that. But what I need to do is, the plan is, so far you have your goals, you innovate, come up with your ideas, you even try to bring everybody on board. Whether you like me or not, the point is that I must be the team. It will come as my next point.
Okay.
So you need everybody.
So hit that as the next point.
As the next point, one thing that is you need to realize as a leader is that there are different staff with diverse skills. So the plan, the strategy is that you need to harness the potentials of all the staff, if possible, and then manage their weakness. You understand, Abby?
Yes.
The point is, you are going to encounter that, and that is something that has helped me. So I make sure that, because you need to build a team. Building a team, you know, moving people along as a leader, you know. So, and even with your humility, leadership attitude, that itself, you see, even if the person doesn't even like you, when you approach the person, and the way you approach it, you see, I've not said that, oh, you, for instance, if you're you taught me in a school, and then I will say that, oh, now I'm a dean, and I'm the VC, and therefore, when I approach you, it's like, yes, boss, you know. But with that humility approach, you know, attitude that you have, and then you approach the person, because if you know that he has some potential, and everybody has got potential, everybody, that's what I realized, everybody, you know. So what happened is that because of your strategy of your humility and your perseverance, and you have set a well-defined goals that will help the system, at times they cannot do anything than to at times join you. If they won't even join, you approach them. They'll share, you share with you. And I used to do that. I approach you and share, this is what I want to do. At times, I may not need even advice, but I approach you as, oh, this is the advice, this is the direction I'm trying to take. This is a decision. You know, what do you think? You know, do you have any decision, suggestion about that? You know, in other ways, you are forcing them to get the best out of it. In effort to contribute, you get something, you add differently, add something. I hope you understand.
Yes, sir.
So it means that, but when you behave like, oh, you were six, doing a contest, you belong to this one, you didn't support me, so I'm in, and therefore I don't want to. If you approach things from that, you know, how can you? You need to unite as a leader, because they didn't know you at the time you were coming, they didn't know you.
Is this principle applicable on the national front?
It is. It is, in fact, because see, the point is that if you want to succeed, we need to identify talent and skills. The point is that if we say this one is not belong, it doesn't belong to us, it's not our group, it don't belong to our party and all that, it will not help. So if you involve everybody, if the country want to succeed, you know, and if there are potential somewhere, if there's some talent somewhere, we need to involve.
So you will advocate bipartisan appointments, exactly, of people to different roles?
Let's do that. I mean, if I may give an example, President
Mills?
No, Jay Kufu,
right,
for instance. You remember, Indu. Indu was a member of CPP. But look at the position, key position, cabinet position he gave to them. Kwabena Asiafi was, I know that was one of his financial advisors. It was CPP. So if you do this, it means you are, I'm sure there are similar, examples in probably the current government, you know. So if you do this, what it means that you are bringing everybody on board, harnessing talent. That's the only way to go. Because if you say you're vice chancellor, you're a dean, you're a provost, you're that, and you decide, oh, this one, look, you want to discriminate. It's not going to help you. For instance, the UNAIR, let me tell you a specific issue about UNAIR. When I went to UNAIR, there was serious division. Yes, in fact, split into two camps. And you were going there, your Zoom office as the vice chancellor. You understand? Definitely, you need some support from somewhere. Maybe one. Those who, the support you had probably belonged to one of the faction. But if you're a leader, you need all. Listen to everything. You observe that, no. I realize that there are talent across, and I need all. Therefore, every strategy, promotion, appointment, and all that, I make sure that it reflects national character. It reflects unity. It is my responsibility to ensure that I unite the people. Those who are prepared to go along, and the vision, if you set your vision clear and they know that it is university that matters, then I think that should be the case.
As a matter of interest, the division that you described, was it on the line of politics, religion, academia, courses, schools?
The groupings, let me put that way, it's a groupings, and the groupings that come along with personal, individuals, you know, mentorship and all that, you know.
Is it very difficult to run a university?
I would say that managing human being is always difficult. And when you understand it, for me, I don't think it's very difficult. Because the point is, if you're passionate about a job, and one of the, it brings me to one of the,
your next point.
You know, why the experience, and if you want to, it's important to be passionate about the job that you're doing.
Would that be a fourth point?
Yeah, okay, fine.
So the first will be God factor, into brackets humility. The second will be the focusing on your vision.
Yes.
The third one will be harness diverse abilities and potentials.
Yes.
That's, and the fourth, you're saying passionate about your job.
Yes, you have to be very passionate about the job.
Right.
You see, and when you're so passionate about it, you take the university as yours. Look, Albert, I'm here because I want the opportunity to serve the university. I want the opportunity to market the university, and so I'm here. I left here last 3 days, and I today I'm here because of this. Why? Sacrifice, look. But so it means that I've taken, and you know what? I don't regret it at all, because I've taken the university as my own. And that's the only way. If you want to succeed, you must take it, you know, the job. So if you don't do that, you will not succeed. And it's common, you may hear that. People will tell us, can you do it? It is like, oh, why are you worrying yourself? You're going to hear all this kind of thing, all right? But if you're a leader, and leader is as a vice chancellor, but you have several leaders along the line. And if you want to succeed, it's important that you must take it as your own. And that's one key aspect of the servant. It's coming back to the servant leadership. Because you see, as you do that, God exalts you. And that is most important. So you want to succeed. So if you're so passionate, you take the university or the job as your own, and you are happy that, you know, the success is the key. And if you do that, there's no way, because the happiness, the self-motivation, look, my motivation, so that nobody can distract me, nobody can discourage me, because I have that innate motivation, and that is to leave a legacy.
Okay.
So there's that natural motivation for me. And if you are so passionate about the work that you're doing, trust me, no matter the challenges, you'll be able to overcome. And I think that has actually helped me a lot.
What will be your fifth point here?
So the fifth point is innovation.
Innovation, okay.
Every leader is supposed to innovate. You're talking of, we talk innovation in terms of ideas, not only just the technology, the innovation, innovative ideas. And as I mentioned, you either innovate or you fail. That's the current, and the current challenging, you know, environment or world. Competition is very high. Even in terms of admissions, you need to innovate in order to get higher student enrollment. If it's about funding, you lack, you know, government of Ghana's funding from the Ghana government is inadequate. And currently, I think it's only the compensation, the salaries. And so if you do not find an innovative way of managing the university, then you cannot succeed and all that. So innovation is very, very important. And it's important that you also take responsibility for your own action. You innovate, you defend your actions, and take responsibility for it. I said learn. Because under current circumstance, under current environment, or the current dispensation, 21st century, if you're a leader and you do not learn new things, you cannot succeed, because things keep changing. You have a strategy, you have, and you realize that it may not work. You would try it. If it doesn't work, you change. And then, you know, you find alternative means. And so you take responsibility for your own action until you achieve success, you know. So I think it's very important. Everybody must innovate, and you must learn and learn and learn.
All right, and a nice note on which to bring this first part of the program to a close. And Professor Elvis Asare-Bidia, who is the Vice Chancellor of the University of Energy and Natural Resources says that if you want to succeed as a person, as a leader, in with all your getting, innovate. And for him, innovation, apart from finding creative ways to run everything, admission, funding and everything, also means taking responsibility. And I like the part that says, learn, learn, and learn. So we want to learn something. We want to take a break. And when we come back, let's find out from Prof what his five prescriptions are for world-class education in Ghana. Please don't go away.
Ah, Joe, won't he? Enterprise Insurance would dear womu promo nana.
Hey, what it? Four coupons.
Womp.
Washing machine.
Womp.
Car washer.
Womp.
Baby.
Womp.
Obiadie. Womp.
Buy or renew your existing motor insurance policy and win instant rewards such as fuel coupons and branded gift items in this year's Udia Womu Motor Insurance promo. You could also win an iPhone 14, front load washing machine, high pressure car washer, vacuum cleaner, and an auto tire inflator during the monthly raffles and a slick clutch rocket motorbike at the end of the 6 months promotion. Make it no slacku. Call your insurance broker, agent, or visit any Enterprise Insurance branch and get your reward now. You can also call us on 0302-634-777. This promo is in partnership with NLE on the Caritas platform.
Terms and conditions apply.
Enterprise, your advantage.
When you can be anything, who will you become?
When you can go anywhere and never feel alone, how far will you go?
When you have the means to make your dreams real, when will you start?
When your voice can reach every ear, who will you inspire?
When your money can travel faster and further than you ever could, where will you send it?
When you can tell a story in every language, which ones will you tell?
When nothing can stop you, and everyone's behind you,
and the whole world awaits you. Don't go alone.
Go with us.
Everywhere you go.
Welcome back to Springboard of Virtual University, brought to you by the Springboard Roadshow Foundation and proudly sponsored by the Enterprise Group, MTN Pulse, UMB Bank, with media support from the Multimedia Group and the Graphic Business. And yes, where you come in, you're listening today to the Vice Chancellor of the University of Energy and Natural Resources. And as you know, since we started this Dawn's Conclave from the beginning of the month, we've tried to get you excited about what leaders are saying about life lessons and also about higher education or education as a whole in this country. So if you are a student of UNE or an alumnus or faculty or friend of the university, or you are planning to attend the university, or your ward is planning, it's simple. Which of the ideas Prof is sharing is your favorite? Just go to our Facebook page, Springboard Zone or Albert Eni Okran, and then just highlight which of the ideas is your favorite and why. And we'd like to see the university that has the most patronage of the thoughts of the VC, and that would be something that we'll report back to you on to tell you that people are listening and participating in this virtual and educative program. So go to Springboard Zone on Facebook, or go to Albert Eni Okran and share your thoughts about what Prof has been telling us so far. We are supported in this by the Graphic Business and also by our friends, the Multimedia Group, and all their platforms helping us to make this possible. And so on Tuesday in the Graphic Business, you will find a full transcript of this story of the University of Energy and Natural Resources, moving from about 150 students, 154, to about 13,000. A miracle story by every standard. My guest once again, Professor Elvis Asare Bediako. Prof, somehow, education is something that everyone has an opinion about, but you are running it at the very highest level with tertiary education and postgraduate education and all. What are your thoughts on how we can achieve world-class education in Ghana? What will be your number one?
Right. Thank you very much, Albert. Yes, the world over, to achieve quality, world-class education, I think there's a certain element. Number one for me is about the quality of staff, human resource, the quality of human resource. You need a competent and experienced human resource. And here, I mean, for as far as university is concerned, you know, university is made up of senior members, senior staff, and junior. Junior members are the student. Right. So, for human resource, very competent and experienced ones are key. You're talking of lecturers. You need a competent staff for you to be able to attend that world-class status. Staff that even can be invited to other universities for adjunct lecturership and all that. In terms of research, be able to carry out quality research. And you know, the publication. If you look at ranking of the universities, one key factor is the number of publications into these top databases like Scopus, Web of Science, and others. And so you need to have quality staff. If it's about lecturers who's really, you know, conducting research, quality research, and publishing in such high impact factor journals, is very important. And so you realize that we need that, even for teaching.
Will the same quality conversation also transcend to the lower levels in secondary, in primary?
In fact, it's very, very important. Now, if you look at it, we thank His Excellency the President and the Minister of Education and the vision of this term education and all that. You realize that we need, it should start from, now if you look at the STEM education now they have STEM secondary school, and you realize that it's very important for the student to really get that quality education right from the beginning, and so that they carry it along. So I think it's very important. And that is what is training. I mean, there's emphasis, Ghana Teaching Council is emphasized on licentiate exams and all that to make sure that those recruited are qualified and all that. So even at the secondary school level, but that's not the emphasis right now. So at the university level, it's very important. So when I was in office, for instance, as a vice chancellor, it's something that I've been trying to do to enhance the skills of my staff. That, you know, and it's for both teaching, non-teaching staff, right, and all that. And I training, so the training was one. So something that I've done, I made sure, and motivated, let me put that way, high, competent, experienced, and motivated staff. You need that, that's very important.
Well, motivation is defined by?
Well, I mean, the case of our university, motivation can come from several ways. First, even the leadership, the way the vice chancellor even relate to them, the open doors even can motivate them. Then also promotion. I don't joke with their promotion at all. Since I came, let me do something. There were only four professors, professorial, those in professorial rank. There were only four. In addition to one who was in leave of absence. But currently, as I speak to you now, you are 12.
In a just, period of less than 3 years?
Yes, you know. Well, because I pay attention to their promotions. Their promotion. And the point is that now everybody is motivated. The vice chancellor will not discriminate, irrespective of whether you understand. You will be given equal treatment, because one of the key, for the first part, which one I was discussing about, my experience, that's one of the things, but the humility and honesty, okay, is also important.
Let's quickly go on to your seventh point, which is the second point on education.
So I think I mentioned of education.
You mentioned quality of human resource as number one.
So quality of human resource, and I'm talking of both the teaching, non-teaching technician, yes, and all that, those who are in terms of publications, who are publishing, and even administrators who are quality, you understand, and all that. And these are very, very important. Okay. Because ranking is based, one major criteria is number of papers in these high, database, high impact faculty journals. And you need such people to do that.
Okay.
And so I think one of the important, and it's happening across all the university, even the top, in the developed world, they hire. And you know, it happens even there, not only in the universities, across the, the business arena.
Right.
People hiring, poaching.
Yes.
So it's human resource is very key.
Okay.
It's key.
So that would be a point number six on the first point on education.
Yes.
The next one will be?
So the next one is the quality of our product.
Okay. That's the students.
Yes, student. Quality of that you are graduate. You are supposed to produce staff, graduate, that has employable skills that are, and are trainable. It's very, very important. So that you don't only produce job seekers, but also job creators. If you produce your graduate, so that they don't have any skills. I'm sure you may employ some people here, you can't even appoint them. And it is that in some case, it's not even a qualification, it's your skills that you have.
What are you doing in UNER to address the skills issue that you mentioned?
So at UNER, I've set up, when I Zoom office, one day, I set up what it calls Student Skills Enhancement Office. It's unique. Student Skills Enhancement Office. You realize that, remember, what even motivated me is during the recruitment exercise, people attended interview, and even the letters, the CV, how the CV has been written, even the application letter itself, how it is written, even the address for the interview. And I also know that when I was even the dean, some of our students went on attachment, we supervised them, and some had already received job. A promised job whilst they were even on attachment, because they went there and only helped in preparing PowerPoint. They were a great student, but because of their presentation skills, they have already been promised job.
So
the skills, but not the qualification.
Okay.
It's something which is very, very important, and that can take you far. So that is one. And so I set up Student Skills Enhancement, a unit for all this one. That's number one. Number two, they need to have now any new program that we're supposed to develop, we say we need to introduce some entrepreneurial skills there.
Okay.
So irrespective of the program or study, we need to inculcate, impact these entrepreneurial skills. So that when you finish, because you may be sitting on the money, on the code, but you won't be able to harness it. So when you learn that, I think that's the most important.
Okay.
The third one, I also set up Center for Entrepreneurship, Entrepreneurship and Skills, Center for Entrepreneurship and Incubation for students. So those with business skills, we can be nurtured. I hope you understand my point here.
Very clear.
So that is different. So it's different from the employable skills. The skills that can get to job, irrespective of the program or the institution you find yourself, organization. But then also we can identify individual having some business. Last time when Magdalene came there, because some of the, I was a student and some of the skills, entrepreneurial, skills, businesses that doing the pitching, it is very interesting.
So two things you've mentioned on education. One is the quality of human resource, and two is the quality of products.
Quality of products, yes.
Let's go to the next one.
Yes. The third one is research intensive.
Big one for universities. So let me ask you, so we are looking at world-class education as a whole, not just in tertiary, but in secondary, primary.
Okay.
When you mention something, I just try to wrap my mind around its applicability. I can relate to human resource across board, even for nursery.
Yeah.
Similarly, I can relate to students being top-notch at nursery, at kindergarten, at primary, secondary. You talk about research. Help me to appreciate its applicability across board in the educational fraternity.
Thank you very much. So you want to, world-class university should be also engaged in applied research. Applied research, if when there's industry student relationship, academia relationship. You'll be able to, you see, so the training should be able to solve problems, societal problems. That's the key word. The training that the institutions, the universities will offer to the student, as such that they should be able to address societal problems. So if it's an industry, industrial problems. So here you are, when it happens, you can even have the industry supporting research. And it's in the developed countries. So
do you have collaborations like that where you have particular organizations and industries coming to the aid of UNE?
In fact, we have collaboration with Ministry of Energy. We work together. As I speak to you now, because our energy is so unique and the best in the country, you know the, what do you call this one? Millennium Challenge, MCA, you know, the second compound is on energy, you remember. And now we are supposed to set up energy centers. There are 3 energy centers, okay? Energy efficiency centers. And the centers is supposed to train energy auditors. So that even here, they will come here and audit your energy and make sure that you are, you understand, to ensure efficiency. Okay. And because of the relationship, they've given us a whole lot of equipment. We have 3 institutions.
Okay.
University of Energy and Natural Resources is one, K University is one, Accra Technical University is one. So through this one, that is also happening. So this kind of relationship, it's happened. So that is one.
Before I end, I'll give you a chance.
We have SDF.
Before I end, I'll give you a chance to let us know what makes UNE unique. But in the last couple of minutes that we have, I'd like to hear your last 2 points on education. You talked about the quality of human resource, mm-hmm. the quality of students or products,
yeah.
and on research. And you're saying that...
I said the research should be able to solve...
Yes, applied
industrial
research.
Problems or societal problems.
Okay. Let's go to your 4th point on education.
Okay. And then the 4th one on education, we are talking of also collaboration, networking. It's very, very important.
Help us to understand it.
Collaboration, network, you understand that? With other foreign partners, local and foreign partners. For instance, when I was in office, University of Energy and Natural Resources in the same city with University of Sunyani Technical University, but we don't work together. Meanwhile, the Sunyani Technical University has some resources, equipment that we can also make use of it. So we work together. There's that collaboration. Now, we also have collaboration with foreign institutions. So for us, you're world class. Then you must also be able to have that kind of networking and collaboration and partnership with a foreign institution. And some of them are in the form of joint lecturer, joint proposals, some 2+2 joint even degrees all being done and all that. As I speak to you now, Abbott, if you give me the chance, I can just enumerate because of this collaboration. For instance, together with 28 institutions, is working on the agricultural waste to energy program, converting agricultural waste to energy, led by 28 institutions in both Europe and Africa. And we are leading that one. And this is even supposed to... we're going to even set up a plant at Solar. We're able to convert energy agricultural waste to energy. That is one, through collaboration, led by a university in Spain. Then, once again, another collaboration with a German institution, also going to convert not only agriculture, forestry product also into energy. And we are working on even setting up a plant. In fact, we are having kind of salt, a plant to convert this waste to energy and supposed to power even our university sustainably. That through this collaboration.
That's very exciting.
Yes, we are going to have that.
Right.
So that is industry. Now, as I speak to you now, the university is also working with Tapcon Energy. And Tapcon Energy, we are going to produce electricity, a hybrid of both solar and hydro on the Tyne River. And this is the first time any tertiary institution is collaborating a private institution in such a venture.
Professor, I tell you what, when you finally commission that plant on the Tyne River, please invite Springboard. Yeah, we'll come and cover it, because right.
Is it okay?
we'll definitely come and cover it for you. But the big thing that we are hearing from what you're saying is that your university is making some very bold initiatives in partnership with local and international partners to solve some of the critical
needs
issues of our nation. And we want to commend you for that. Let's take the last...
If we heard last year about Dankuba, the commission, another waste, municipal waste to energy. So when it comes to waste to energy, we are the best in the country.
It sounds very exciting.
Yes, and that one too, we're part. You know, the only
let's take your last point, and I'll come back and ask you something on this particular point. So let's take your 10th and final point. What else would you like to see in terms of delivering world-class education? You've talked about the personnel, mm-hmm. the students, the research, and then the collaboration to deliver solutions. What would be the last one?
You know, we are in Africa, and we are in Ghana, and the major challenge that we have is finance. So one thing that you can do, and in fact, even a developed country, they have set up endowment fund. I mean, you mentioned of the money that Harvard and other top universities have, so huge. So we need to diversify our source of funding, and then also ensuring financial prudence. Because, you know, we don't get enough support from government. Now, don't blame them, because the resource is not enough. They have a lot of mouth to feed. And so it's always important that we, the leaders, will also find innovative ways of generating income. And for me, we are looking at two ways. First is ways to generate income. Another way is also to ensure financial prudence. And how do we achieve this? Now, in generating, we are now talking about education. You know, the nature of education that we have now, education five functions. You know, the normal education has been three functions, teaching, research, and extension. But now you're talking of innovation, technology, and marketing, patenting. So if you're talking about world-class universities, now the other top-class universities are talking about patenting, not just publishing in scopus and in their journals and all that, but I'm talking about patenting, and that can generate income. So that is one avenue. So through a quality research, product development, so that we move away from just the three functions, but with the five functions, that can generate income. That is one. And then in every institution, you also have to develop, business development unit. So here, when I assume office, I set up what they call Unit Enterprise. You know, a way of also diversifying. Fundraising is also important. We have fundraising, you know, endowment fund, and that, you know, so that endowment fund, you know, you're able to generate income that can support the university.
I tell you one thing, it's very clear that you are very passionate, and I'm going back to your fourth point in your first submission. I have 2 minutes to wrap up,
okay.
But I'll tell you this. Before we sign off, I would like to hear you tell the whole world your closing thoughts about UNE. So for the benefit of those who are watching us and listening to us all across the world, what Professor Elvis Saribidiako has been saying under his life lessons: number one, the God factor of humility; number two, focus on your vision; number three, harness diverse abilities; number four is passion, something that he's very, very, very much living, even in the studio; and the last one is innovation. He says, without that one, forget it. You innovate or you die. Now, on the point about education, he's been saying, number one is the quality of human resource, learning, research, the full gamut of personnel who run the university and work for the university must be top quality. Number two is about the quality of products or students, and that cuts across the whole educational spectrum. The third one is research, applied research to solve problems. The fourth is about collaborating with both private, local, and international partners, networking and collaboration. His fifth point is about diversifying your funding sources. I have a feeling that one, every university, every institution, in fact, even non-educational institutions will be listening to how to diversify your funding. And he's saying, listen, beyond the traditional sources, think about patenting, think about product development, and in all that you do, there must be financial prudence. If you think Prof has shared something that really connects with you, you know what to do. Go to Springboard Zone on Facebook or go to Albert Eni Okran and vote. Let's know which of Prof's thoughts is your favorite. Let me give the chance to Prof to wrap up by looking into this camera and telling the whole world why UNEA, University of Education and Natural Resources, is the best university in the world. Prof, fire.
University of Energy and Natural Resources is just 10 years old. But trust me, it is a place where you will not even get. It is a place for people who want to complete work and job chasing you. It's a place where when you complete, you know, wherever you find yourself, you can adapt to it. We want to welcome all of you and to come to University of Energy and Natural Resources. We are the best in environmental related research. We are the best in energy, number one in the country. And in fact, as I speak to you now, when it comes to environment, we have satellite that can really satellite for 24/7 that can be used to even monitor a lot, monitor even galamseys in the forest, monitor even the water levels. We can even predict temperature and weather conditions, except that we are not mandated to do that. We are the only institution that have that ability. In fact, we have the software that can even detect fire, wildfire, in the entire West Africa sub-region and part of the North and East Africa. It's only our university. In fact, we run some unique programs, such as safety, fire safety disaster management. And we are the only institution that run that. And some of our programs, engineering programs, so unique. Look, as our student, you're surprised, our student, engineering student last year, winning the best word public speaker. So the skills that we impart to our students are so, at times I'm even amazed. Well, what are you doing? Please come to University of Energy and Natural Resources. You will never regret.
Mr. Sinyani, coming all the way to the Springboard Virtual University and making a strong pitch for the University of Energy and Natural Resources. I tell you something, Professor Elvis Asaribediakun has just totally blown everything away. He's made you understand why you have no choice but to come to the University of Energy and Natural Resources. This has been the Dons Conclave on Springboard, your virtual university. I want to commend Professor Elvis Asaribediakun for traveling all the way from Sinyani to be with us and have this wonderful interaction with us. Prof, let's shake hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let's do this again. This time we will fly to Sinyani and then in the comfort of your seat as Vice Chancellor until we come your way again next week with Professor Asiatu, all the way from Volta region, from who the first nurse to become Professor and Vice Chancellor in Ghana. It's just been an amazing time sharing with Professor Elvis Asaribediakun. My name is Albert Okran, thanking you on behalf of Team Springboard and our sponsors, MTN Pulse, the Enterprise Group, UMB Bank, and our media partners, the Multimedia Group and the Graphic Business. So we come away again next week. My name is Albert, saying God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you.
So long, we've been here, we've been trying to break free, chains that hurt us in our minds, but no more, this is a turning point,
no more searching,
the light has come. Come on, turn around.
No more delays. Time to move on. He's gonna turn around.
Where we are, where we going? Wrong decisions, wrong direction. Time to make the right changes. Whoa. Come on, Africa, this is the turning point.
Change, turn around.
Yes. Oh. Make a Sufira wuminya me fama kume yinomu senia afotiri prishishesu sana mikra prishishewo mikra wisufira wuminya me fama kumai no mu senia a fortieri prishi jesu sana mikra prishi shewo mehu yesu yo se Send me one, Yeshua.
that hurt us in our minds, but no more. This is a turning point.
No more searching.